President Biden has accepted the challenge to debate.
Well, make my day, pal. I'll even do it twice. So let's pick the dates, Donald. I hear you're free on Wednesdays.
Donald Trump has agreed, but has one request.
I just want to debate this guy, but, you know, and I'm going to demand a drug test, too, by the way.
I am.
No, I really am.
I'm Skynell Hughes, and on this edition of 360 View, will the first presidential debate of the 2024 election cycle deliver an informative exchange of views or be a national embarrassment? Let's get started. President Joe Biden has finally accepted Donald Trump's constant calls to debate, with the first debate hosted by CNN on June 27th and the second on NBC on September 10th. But even from the acceptance, things are not going so smoothly. First, Biden's acceptance video needed 5 jump cuts to fill just 15 seconds. Second, Biden picks it on the news network Trump loves to hate, and Trump surprisingly agreed.
But fake Tapper and these people, they're going to be fine. They're going to be fair. I think they're going to be fair. And if they're not, you know, you have to deal with it, right? You have to deal with it.
Now, independent candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is actually in talks with CNN to be included in the debate.
So I qualify for the debates. They have now made a public offer. We consider that a contract, and we're in discussion with CNN now.
Though RFK Jr. claims CNN is doing everything they can to try and keep him from the debate stage.
We were supposed to have a meeting with them this afternoon. They sent us a message saying they couldn't find the guy who was supposed to lead the meeting. This is a news organization. They're supposed to be able to find people, but they couldn't find that guy. So we're going to see what they say, but, you know, there's a FEC rule that says you can't make a deal to keep one of the candidates off the stage.
Now, RFK Jr. is billed as the third-party candidate who could take enough votes to keep either Biden or even Trump out of the White House.
Look, RFK is polling very low. He's not a serious candidate. They say he hurts Biden. I don't know who he hurts. He might hurt me. I don't know. But he has very low numbers, certainly not numbers that he can debate with.
And all of this is happening as the Republican Party and the Democratic Party just recently said it wanted nothing to do with future presidential debates due to the bias of the commission. But all of this chaos in the beginning could be a preview of what is to come, as the debate is promising to produce record ratings. But are people watching because they care about the future of this country, or because it promises to be the most exciting fight on TV, even if it is between 2 senior citizens? So I'm going to discuss with our panel. Larry Ward, President, Political Media Incorporated. Steve Malzberg, political commentator. Alan Grayson, former Florida congressman and political analyst. Thanks for joining me, gentlemen, about this debate. I knew if anybody wanted to talk about debates, it would be you three. Thanks for joining me. I want to start with you, Steve, on this one, because former White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki actually predicted Trump may bail from the debate, since most of the guidelines are set by the Biden campaign. Let's listen.
Trump could certainly say, I never agreed to those specifics in the letter, and he probably will, and that's how this all falls apart.
However, while Donald Trump skipped the Republican primary debates, he has been egging Biden on for months, saying this back in December.
Will you debate Joe Biden if he is the nominee and you are the nominee?
Oh, well, I look forward to that. How about 10 debates? How about 10?
It's time for crooked Joe Biden, the worst president in the history of the United States, and I to debate. We owe it to our country. We owe it to all Americans. Anytime, anywhere, any place.
Okay, so Steve, will this debate actually happen, or will one of the candidates find a reason to back out in some kind of protest?
Well, I don't understand why Donald Trump agreed to all of the Biden demands right off the bat. First of all, I don't believe anything Jen Psaki says, and I don't value her opinion at all. I think that she's been proven wrong enough times over the years for me to say that. But what, you know, he said anytime, anywhere, any place. Well, he's getting that. He's getting CNN. You know, with Jake Tapper and Dana Bash, who despise him, it's very possible that down the road he might say, oh, I want an audience. Well, of course, he's agreed already reportedly to no audience. You know, I want a fair moderator. I want the microphones to remain open while the other gentleman talks. That he's already agreed reportedly not to have the microphones active while the other person is talking. No audience, which takes away from his flair, his charisma, his ability to woo an audience and get and work off their applause. So I don't know why he agreed to this in the first place the way it is. So there is a chance that he might say something and make a demand and then say, I'm backing out. However, having said that, real quick, he needs the debate. It's going to be he's going to wipe the floor with Joe Biden. So when push comes to shove, he will be there.
Well, I got to put Congressman Grayson on this one, because Congressman Grayson, if you were betting on this debate, would you put your money on this being a debate filled with substance and respect? Or is this potentially going to look like an episode from a reality show?
I think it will end and cure the worldwide shortage of hyperbole. I think that it will be the most disgusting thing ever portrayed on TV for the most part. And I just hope we can get through it without going to the toilet and upchucking. It will be a horror show.
I appreciate your frankness and your honesty. In fact, I think a lot of people in the back of their mind, some people are actually probably cheering for that. They need some entertainment. But that's the reason I think, Larry, why I'm even considering why this debate is even happening. Because the RNC back in April of 2022 actually withdrew from the Commission on Presidential Debate, saying they were biased. So why is this debate, or even how is it happening?
Well, the question isn't really why. Before you understand why, you have to understand when. And it's happening, the earliest debate that on history, in history between the two nominees. And why is it happening at that time? It's a setup. They are absolutely positioning Biden for his last chance. If he can't defeat or hold his own against Trump and get good press and raise his numbers, they're going to find a way to remove him at the convention. That's what this is about. It's a way for Biden to get the message that he has to move aside and let Kamala or someone else fight it out at the Democratic convention.
Well, I agree with you on the timing. We're going to discuss that a little bit later. But I want to pull Steve, because you mentioned this in the very beginning. Because one of the most puzzling parts about this first initial debate is the media outlets, as well as the second one, which were chosen. Why would Trump actually agree to have the first debate on CNN, which he claims is Biden friendly? Let's listen.
You know, the only one he wanted to do it on, basically CNN.
Okay. And it's even being hosted by the two people who had this reaction to the last Trump-Biden debate.
Hot mess inside a dumpster fire. Inside a train wreck. That was the worst debate I have ever seen. In fact, it wasn't even a debate.
Look, the whole thing was disgraceful. The whole thing was disgraceful. But this took it too far, even for Donald Trump.
I mean, Steve, I'm even surprised that these two, if they had any sort of ethics about them, agreed to host it. But much less, why did Trump agree to be on it with these two hosts on CNN?
It is mind-boggling. This is a network that will not even carry what Donald Trump says live, when he speaks after court, when he holds events, when he talks to the media, when he makes statements. They say, well, we won't bring you that live because he lies. And then after he speaks, they have the fact checker come on. Oh, he lied about this. He lied about that. When Biden speaks, of course, never a fact checker, never a problem, because Biden never tells anything that's not true. So it is mind-boggling that he accepted Jake Tapper and Dana Bash, who are openly anti-Trump. They despise Trump. They mock Trump. They call him names. And he's agreed to this. And, you know, the boundaries set by the Biden camp were just very disturbing. They said it had to be a network that carried both a Republican primary that Trump participated in 2016, and a Democratic primary debate that Biden participated in 2020. So it limited the field to CNN, CBS, ABC, and Telemundo, not one of them pro-Trump or even fair, in my view.
Well, that's the thing. So, Steve, I've got to ask you, is there a network? Do you agree with, I guarantee you don't agree with Steve's take that it's going to be unfair to against Trump, but is necessarily lately CNN hasn't been necessarily pro-Biden either. Is this a good place from a Democrat standpoint to host this debate? And are you expecting fairness out of Jake and Dana?
Me? No.
I'm talking about, Congressman Grayson.
Oh, yes. Well, the answer is yes, but it doesn't matter because the last time that Donald Trump actually answered a question was approximately 1983. And all the interviewers can do is simply ask questions. That's what they do. And it's going to be even worse because what they really want to do is ask different candidates different questions, and the format doesn't permit that. That would be actually meaningful, like asking Donald Trump, for instance, why did you put classified documents right next to your toilet in the bathroom? That's not a question for Joe Biden. That's a question for Donald Trump. Why did you tell the Secretary of State to get you another 13,000 votes? That's a question for Donald Trump, not Joe Biden. So therefore, this is an inherently difficult format in order to actually accomplish anything useful. And I'm sure that all the moderators, whether they're biased or not, are going to end up entirely frustrated.
And that's what makes this absolutely very, very interesting. And Larry, because you brought it up, the timing of the debates, first debates happening before the convention. Do you think this is actually, you mentioned a little bit, a good strategy for either candidate? We talked about Trump, but is this really a good idea for Biden going into his?
I don't think he has a choice. Look, you know, Biden has said on numerous occasions that he can't say this and he can't say that because he's going to get in trouble. He's not running the show. They told him he's going to have this debate and this is going to be his last chance to be the nominee. That's what I believe. And look, will CNN be fair? I think CNN will actually be fair because I think the folks at CNN and most of the people, probably including Congressman Grayson, want to see Joe Biden out of this race. They know he can't win. He's down in the polls. Nobody believes in him. Everybody sees the dementia that he wears and every single speech that he gives. And quite frankly, they want him removed and they want somebody else to go in there who may have a shot or they think has a shot against Donald Trump.
Well, Alan, do you agree with that? Do you agree this might be actually the Hail Mary that some Democrats are hoping for, that this is a way to get Joe Biden off and be able to bring somebody else into the ticket before the convention?
Well, I think the last statement was borderline delusional. I mean, just look at the polls. If Biden wins Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, then he's reelected president of the United States. Trump was in a far worse position before the last election, and nobody was talking about ditching him. So the fact of the matter is that Biden is actually spending his effort and his money on campaigning, while Donald Trump is spending his effort and his campaign funds on staying out of prison. So Donald Trump's the one who desperately needs a boost here and a distraction from the fact that he's the most indicted person in recent times in America.
Well, and that's the thing, Steve, is that kind of how you said, you know, both sides claim the other's trying to do everything they can to stay off the campaign trail, to be held to their records. In this case, do you think the timing of this debate is going to help or hurt? Mainly because there's still cases ongoing. Donald Trump's going to still not be able to talk about everything because you'll be subpoenaed by the judge or you're going to be condemned by the judge. Is this bad timing for Donald Trump?
Well, I think in June, with the 4th of July approaching, I'm sure the ratings will be okay, but people aren't tuned in yet. You know, they always say after Labor Day, after the conventions, that's when people start focusing on elections, especially presidential elections. And I think that that's the case here too. I think the June one, the end of June, is a throwaway. And I think the point is well made that if Joe Biden, who always seems to do well, though, interestingly enough, you know, Trump has talked about drug testing both candidates before the debate. There are people who believe that before the State of the Union, before big events where the eyes of the world are upon him, Joe Biden gets a shot of something because he's a different Joe Biden for the hour or two that he is in focus. So I think the point is well taken that if Joe Biden has a disaster and starts stumbling and mumbling and can't compete with Donald Trump on CNN, come convention time, you know what? He might just say, I talked it over with my family and this came up, that came up, my son's on trial, I want to concentrate on this, blah, blah, blah. And in comes Gavin Newsom for the next debate. So I think that's something we do have to watch.
Well, something else, I want to talk about this second debate before we go to break. Larry, The second debate is actually on the night before the 23rd anniversary of the 2001 attacks on America. Now, do you think this date was purposely chosen by the Trump campaign or agreed upon in hopes of putting Biden in a very precarious situation, which risks deepening the divide that's already occurring between Biden and the Muslim American community?
It could, you know, look, the and also strengthening Trump's position as a commander in chief. You know, people have you know, forgotten, but it comes around that time, around 9/11, people start remembering, and you know, you see the clips about what happened on 9/11 more often, becomes a little more prevalent in the electorate. So it could kind of demonstrate who should be the commander in chief at this very, very precarious time where Biden has basically set the world on fire with his weakness. And you know, it's a good juxtaposition to say Biden or Trump. And I think a lot of people, you know, will obviously see President Trump as the better commander in chief.
Well, I want to continue this conversation, but I want to do it after a break. So stick around, panel, because after the break, the co-chair of the Republican Party is already saying the debate is stacked against Trump. But even so, what actually will we see from the debate stage? The discussion continues after the break.
Two men on a stage. We need to be very clear about the direction we want this country to go. We need to hear from Donald Trump. It's rigged so heavily in Joe Biden's favor, but everything always is.
Okay, so is Laura Trump right? And why is she acting surprised considering she agreed to this? Well, I want to continue this debate about the presidential debates with our guest, Larry Ward, president of Political Media Incorporated, Steve Malzberg, political commentator, and Alan Grayson, former Florida congressman, political analyst. We truly have the full gamut of views on this. So I want to actually start with you on this, Alan. Do you think the candidates are going to prefer to focus on domestic or foreign policy issues?
I think they'll focus on domestic issues because there is no urgent foreign policy threat to the United States right now that would require us to turn our attention to that. But when they focus on these so-called domestic issues, they're not going to be talking about the same issues. They literally don't even agree on what the issues are. For instance, I'm still waiting for the caravan to reach the Mexican border. But Trump is going to talk endlessly about building the wall, finishing the wall, the border, et cetera, et cetera. And he's going to be talking, even though he's talking to an audience that consists primarily of people who are nowhere near the border. In our case, the border is the ocean here in Florida. So they're going to be talking about abortion in entirely different ways. To give you an example, Joe Biden's going to be talking about the fact that the most important choice any of us makes in our lifetime is whether to have a child and shouldn't be forced on us by the government. Whereas Donald Trump is going to be saying it's a matter of states' rights for some reason or other. I'm not even sure why. So they're going to be talking about domestic issues, but they're going to be talking about them in ways that talk past each other, as we often do here in America in the year 2024.
That's an excellent point about that. But Larry, there's a difference between what the candidates want to talk about and what the people want to hear. What does the American people want to hear in regards to this debate and the topics that are addressed?
Oh, Alan's actually wrong. The people want to hear about building the wall because the problem isn't the caravan coming to coming to the Texas border or the Arizona border. The problem is the amount of illegal immigrants that are in Chicago and New York, displacing veterans, displacing homeless people, taking up seats in schools, taking up hospital rooms. That's the real issue. So the people actually do want to hear about a solution to our illegal immigration problem. And quite frankly, you know, I welcome the debate on abortion because it's the Democrats who have the extreme position talking about things like, you know, abortion up to the ninth month or even beyond that, as our former governor in Virginia said, you know, we could have the baby and then decide later. You know, these kind of things are Democrat extreme positions. And I think the American people should hear these kind of domestic issues. But to say that there's no foreign threat to the United States right now is insane, especially what's happening at the border and how we're bringing in, you know, Chinese military age men by the tens of thousands across our border every day, and how we have an issue with the Middle East situation and the Ukraine situation. We have a foreign policy mess, so they should be talking about both.
So I've got to ask you, Steve, Trump has a history of always surprising his opponent, whether you're talking about bringing in the long trail of women that accused sexual assault against Bill Clinton, went to the debate against Hillary Clinton. Even in the Republican debates, he had certain people sitting in the front row for Vivek, in support of Vivek. Do you think Trump's going to do some form of a surprise in this case for the debate to throw Joe Biden off his game, and what could that be?
Well, there's no guests coming because there's no audience, which I think, as I mentioned earlier, is a big mistake for Trump to agree to. So I don't think he could do that. And he really can't bring up anything. He can't respond while Joe Biden's talking because they cut the microphone, which we also talked about already. So I don't think, you know, and they might be very, you know, Mr. President, please stick to the topic at hand. I could see them interrupting him time and time again. But, you know, the former congressman, I hope the Democrats consider immigration a dead issue. I hope they consider the world blowing up under Joe Biden a dead issue. I hope they tell everybody, and Joe Biden tells everybody in the debate, hey, everybody's really doing fine. When people are asked how they're doing economically, they're fine, but they think the rest of the country's not good. Say all that. Be show how out of touch you are, because nothing could help Donald Trump more than that. Look, Trump's going to be up against it. He's going to have the moderators are not going to ask what he wants. I don't know who decides the topics. If it's Trump, it should be every one of the first five topics that are listed on voter concerns. And he will wipe the floor with Biden on each one of them, if he's allowed to.
Well, knowing how Trump debates, Alan, one, would you even take the job of prepping Joe Biden, the current president, for the debate? And two, what does he need to do to consider a win for that night? Does he fight Trump? Does he try to distract? Does he even ignore Trump? How does Joe Biden win the debate that night?
Joe Biden wins the debate by doing what he's done throughout his whole career, which is to be a serious, sensible, solid person, in contrast to the lunatic who will be standing on the stage next to him. Probably, I'd have to say, possibly someone under the influence because of those stories that come from Trump's show. What was the name of the show? The Greatest Loser? What was the name of the show? Where the cast and the crew said that Trump was under the influence of drugs while he was taping that show. So maybe what we're hearing now is projection. But in any event, to answer your question, Joe Biden just has to show that he has a commitment to doing what he thinks will be best for the American people and not what's best for Donald Trump, which is the only thing that ever matters to Donald Trump. What's best for Donald Trump?
Okay, so I cannot let you guys go without Larry asking you about Robert F. Kennedy Jr., because he claims CNN and Biden have a backroom deal to keep him out of the debate. But due to a technical error where CNN tried to make the qualifications so strict to keep him out, RFK actually qualified for the debates where Trump and Biden do not. One of those qualifications would require the candidate to be on the ballot in enough states to get 270 electoral votes. But since the debates are being held before the conventions, technically, neither the Republican or Democrat Party has a candidate on the ballot.
I'm willing to waive the criteria for President Biden and President Bush, as I think it's important that the American people see their presidential candidates debate each other.
So, Larry, does RFK deserve to be on that stage, and what purpose will he serve, considering he really has a long shot of winning?
He's on the ballot. The Democrats are terrified of Robert F. Kennedy Jr., pulling votes from Biden. He's not going to pull votes from Trump. But Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is actually moving further to the left. as the campaign goes on. He's going to pull more and more votes from Biden. I actually think Robert F. Kennedy Jr. should make a play for the Democrat convention, you know, especially after this debate. He should try to get back on the Democratic ticket, and maybe the Democrats can rally around someone like RFK Jr. at the convention, because, you know, Biden, I don't think, is going to be the guy on the ticket, you know, particularly if he doesn't perform well in this debate. And quite frankly, there's very little chance he's actually going to perform well. I'm not talking about how the pundits are going to rate him. I'm talking about how the American people are going to see him. They're going to see him as the liar, the mumbling idiot that is the dementia patient that he is.
Well, quick answer from both before I let you go. Yes or no? Does the first debate actually happen? Larry, yes or no?
Yes.
Steve?
Absolutely.
Alan?
Yes.
Okay, I'll have you back on after the first debate to see if we actually get to have the second one. Thank you so much for joining us. Larry Ward, President, Political Media Incorporated. Steve Malzberg, a political commentator, and Alan Grayson, former Florida congressman, political analyst. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Scott.
Now, I honestly cannot understand why either campaign agreed to debate with each other. I feel like they both were playing this game of chicken, you know, the one where you keep pushing each other towards something, hoping the other flinches first. You know, I don't think President Trump thought Biden was actually going to accept the invitation to debate. And that is pretty apparent, all by the acceptance of terms to debate on the networks and the hosts who have been chosen and are obviously against all things Trump. And I guarantee both campaign chairmen and staff blood pressure are already spiking just at the thought of what their prospective candidate might say on the stage. But what's the worst that could happen? I mean, Biden could start rambling.
He calls the erectionists who stormed Capitol Hill patriots.
He could also throw out some false antidotes about his family or some made-up life stories.
Everything was ruined, and the kitchen floor, we almost lost a couple firefighters, they tell me.
And inaccurate statistics about the state of this country under his administration.
Today, we received news that our economy had 0% inflation.
Now, in response, well, former President Trump could turn this into an insult fest filled with name-calling and facial contortions. Sadly, we've come a long way from the dignity presented from the first U.S. presidential debate. But one thing is guaranteed. This debate will be the most watched debate, not only in the United States, but around the world. The presentation given on stage will be a reflection on the current state of American politics and the course of the United States for the future. This has been your 360 View on the news affecting you. Thanks for watching.